Hello, everybody, and welcome to our INE Office Hours call for the month of November 2019. We are almost at the end of the year, and it's just amazing how, it's just amazing how fast the year has gone by. So I want to welcome you if you're new, and if you're not, then I will, you know the drill, but if you are new, this is a call for you to ask questions about your clients. You can also ask questions about family members or your own health. That's all allowed. It's all things that can help support other people and yourself in just advancing your clinical skills. So you can ask questions about client cases, you can ask questions about labs, although we can't review labs, we don't have access to a facility where we can show them and review them, but we can talk about them. You can also ask questions about, you know, your practice and doing presentations and anything really at all related to your work in this field. What I do ask you to do when you ask a question that's typed in is to please type in what program you're in. Are you in CMDS? Are you in IRSBT? Are you in both? Are you in NEPT? Are you in the assessments mastery? And that way I know what you have access to so I can tell you what resources that you can go for further information. And the same thing on the phone, you know, introduce yourself, say hi, and then tell me what program you're in. So I see a couple of questions that have been put in advance by Chris from Mexico. Let's see. I'd like your opinion on bacon and butter. I know you say they're not healthy foods, but you mentioned in one of your teleseminars. Can you please talk a little bit further? Some keto experts claim about butyric acid and grass-fed butter and all the good stuff in bacon, essential amino acids, vitamins, minerals from healthy animals. Should you not recommend? I don't recommend it at all. I don't recommend it. It's pure fat, first of all. So it's not a whole food. I'm a big fan of a whole foods plant-based diet. So if you're going to try to get butyrate, there are other places you can get it. Actually, there's a bunch of plant foods that you can get butyrate from. And bacon is pure saturated fat. So especially if you're working with somebody, you don't know their genetics. If they have an APOE4/4, you can put them at severe risk of a heart attack with both of these foods. They're pure fat. I don't see any redeeming qualities. Bacon, even if it's made specifically from a grass-fed animal, it's still loaded with nitrites and other kinds of things that naturally form in it. If you want to read more about it, I think it was Ocean Robbins, if I'm not mistaken. I read an article recently about, think that your bacon is healthy because they say there's nothing added. Well, there's naturally forming. So I'm not a fan of it. It's just pure fat, and I'd rather you get your nutrients from whole foods. After Chris, I would like to know the process of certification changes if my coaching is in Spanish. Shall I make transcripts? Oh, I see what you mean. So if you're doing your calls and you want to submit a call and it's in Spanish, yeah, you can make transcripts. We'll listen in. I know a little bit of Spanish and some of my team does too. And we'll listen in and see, you know, like really get a sense of how you create rapport and how you structure things. And yeah, transcript would be very, very, very helpful. Thank you, Chris. Okay, so if you have questions, star 2 on your telephone keypad. And also, if you are on the web call, there's another way to do it. It's just press the button that says raise hand. And if you are not, if you think you're raising your hand and I'm not seeing it, go ahead and type into the chat or the Q&A and just tell me that you have. So Thea hears me, Chris hears me, Jill, Barbara, Patty. Patty is in the INE program. Patty, you mean NEPT? I'm not sure which Patty because we have several, but yeah, I think you might mean Patty, NEPT, the one you signed up for at Shine. What is the proper timing of vitamins? Where might I find that? Patty, great question. It depends. I'm going to answer that. It depends. Some things do better when taken on an empty stomach. Some things do better with food. Some things interact with other things, so you have to be really, really careful about that. And in the micronutrients module in NEPT and also in an soon to be released on its own micronutrients or nutrition mastery, functional nutrition mastery program. That will be in there, but you have it in, I think it's module 5 or 6 in NUPT, where every single nutrient is in there, and it'll talk about that. Patty, should we refer our clients to functional or integrated doctors? Well, it depends on why. What's the reason? So much of the stuff, once you get through the program in NEPT, you're going to know as much and more than a lot of these docs. But if somebody's on like medication, if they're on thyroid medication and they want to look at, do they still need to have that same amount of thyroid medication? If they're seeing a regular Western MD about a particular condition and they're on medication, then certainly switching to a functional or integrated doctor. The problem I find with a lot of the integrative or functional doctors is they still can't get over the mindset of this for that. So what they're looking at is, how can I say this delicately? They look at the person as a diagnosis still, and they look at what herbs or supplements to take. The process that we take you through in NEPT and the training that we take you through is to really treat each person as an individual and to identify what's actually going on with all of those. So, yeah. Let's see. Patricia says grass-fed butter, ? Are you saying, do I recommend grass-fed butter? No, I don't, because it's pure fat. It's pure saturated fat. And I am concerned about putting pure saturated fat into someone. Jill, I had a client come in with shortness of breath. I gave her energy work and suggested B12, which she said she was taking. I suggested further testing and told her of sites. She ended up going to a women's clinic for testing and treatment. What else could I have done to help her? Jill, what program are you in? I'll give you access to what resources you have. NEPT. Oh, okay, that's Jill. Okay, thank you. Chris, tons of expensive tests in functional medicine. Yeah, a lot of times, here's what I've seen. And I'm not putting this down by any stretch. Sometimes the tests are necessary. But the first thing they're doing is, here's a consult, $500 for the consult, and here's the requisition for $500 to $2,000 worth of tests. Then they wait 3 months or whatever, 2 months, whatever long it takes to get the tests back, and then they sit down, and based on the results of the test, it's pretty overwhelming when you do that many tests. There's a huge long list of supplementation, and they're not addressing the food as much as I would like. In NEPT and in our programs, we address food. We address food, 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 food. Yeah, supplements are important. Yeah, herbs are very important. In fact, I can't wait to do my herbal medicine intensive that I'm going to be putting on in the spring. But I know that it's more than that, right? It's the food. It's the lifestyle. It's the stress levels. And we've seen a lot of folks who come in from functional doctors who are missing the boat. In fact, somebody came in NEPT on a case study call a couple months ago, and not even a couple months ago, it might have been last month, and said basically that she had a new client who had been seeing a functional medicine doctor who put her on bioidentical hormones, and when we looked, they'd only done blood testing, first of all. They didn't do a Dutch test or any saliva testing or anything that might have given a bigger picture of the metabolites. But they just looked at that. They just looked at the bioidentical, because she came in with hot flashes, I assume, and other symptoms of menopause. And they put her on hormones, and the woman was getting worse and wasn't really helping. And when our student looked at this person's lab, she was diabetic. She had a hemoglobin A1C of 11 or 10, and nobody tested that. So I think that we need to be looking at each individual and looking at the comprehensive approach, right? Everything. What is going on? Asking that question, why? Why do they have thyroid symptoms? Why do they have hot flashes? Is there a gut problem? Is there a blood sugar problem? So that's what I wanted to say. So Jill, how far along are you in your studies in NEPT? Do you have, how many modules are open to you right now? Because, okay, what could you have done? So energy work, of course, can be very helpful. She came in with shortness of breath. You have to do a history to find out why she had shortness of breath. Had she just run up a flight of stairs? Does she have COPD? Does she have emphysema? What else could cause shortness of breath? Is there a heart issue? Is there a lung issue? So I would say, no more stress-related. Stress-related. Okay, so she was shortness of breath. So you ruled out those things by asking the right questions. So history-taking module, right? I think that's module 4 or something, 5. So I would say, find out what you could do. If you were trying to treat her symptomatically versus getting to the root cause, one thing I would say, energy work is great. Teach her breath. Teach her how to use her breath in appreciation, like teach her heart math to get her to calm down. Does she meditate? Teach her how to meditate. As far as B12, shortness of breath, if her shortness of breath was because she was stressed, she was having like a panic attack, and you wanted to give her some sort of Band-Aid herbal type relief, I would give her some of the calming herbs, some of the things like maybe chamomile is a real mild one, passion flower if she was short of breath because she had a lot on her mind and you couldn't get her racing mind to stop. So I don't have enough information, but I think getting a better history and then looking at addressing what you think is the root cause. Further testing, I mean, you could do a Dutch test, adrenal testing, et cetera, but a full history would be important. Yeah. Returning to saturated fat, there's plenty of evidence that dietary saturated fats is not really affect heart health. Are you referring specifically people that have the gene mutation? Yeah, APOE4/4, these people can't tolerate saturated fats, whether it's coconut or animal fats. They just don't tolerate it. They don't break it down, and it can contribute to things, Alzheimer's and heart disease. So you really have to be careful. I don't have a problem with saturated fat. I eat whole food plant-based fats that are loaded with saturated fat, and I don't have a problem with that, except for people with APOE4/4. What I have a problem with is oils and butter, which are separated from the whole plant. I also have a problem with dairy products, because even if they are cows that have been ethically raised and they're grazing, they still have high levels of hormones in them. And the fat concentrates toxins and hormones, and we live in a toxic world. So I'm not a big fan of, I don't personally see any redeeming qualities to eating grass-fed butter. Okay. There may be some specific situations where there's some sort of enzymatic problem and people can't, make butyrate and they have some issues, but I'm not a fan of dairy products at all. Do your homework, do some research. Every bit of research that I've looked at says to me, no, everybody's going to come to a different conclusion, but I'm not a fan. Yeah. Can you review the different kinds of fats and what they're good for and what they're not? There's in the macronutrients module, module 4, I guess it is, there's a whole section on fats. And maybe it's module 3. Yeah, maybe it's module 3. You actually had it on your little jump drive that we gave you at Shine that had modules 1, 2, and 3. And so the different kinds of fats, you have saturated and unsaturated. You have unsaturated that are monounsaturated and polyunsaturated. I actually have 3 hours worth of lecture on it, so it's very hard to give you an overview. But what are they good for? They're different pathways in the brain. The omega-3s and 6s, the short chain ones we can't make, so we have to take them in the diet. Omega-3s tend to be more anti-inflammatory, DHA in particular for brain health, EPA for more of the inflammation, but they're important for super large amounts of things in the body, and the balance is super important. I think that fats are not good when they're oils, when they're pulled away from the whole food. I'm a big fan of whole food. Unless therapeutically I have this like skinny emaciated person who we need to get calories into, then I will use oil for sure, right? MCT, medium chain triglycerides, have been found to be effective in the brain, helping with Alzheimer's and also with healing the gut, and they don't require bile to be absorbed. So this is in a nutshell. Let me tell you, Patty, go to that module. There's a tremendous amount, and you will know the goods, the bads, the ins and outs, and everything you need to know about fat. Okay? I am in the process, Barbara, of using the doctor's data stool test, and the vials are labeled in packets, day 1, day 2, day 3. They actually mean to wait for the next day to collect the next sample. even if the client has more than one stool per day. It's recommended too, because, you know, you want to go do it over time. In fact, some people recommend using those three and collecting 6 days worth of data, right? You just take part of the stool in one day and part of the stool in another day, and then do that for 6 days, because you're more likely to catch whatever's growing in there over a longer period of time. Yeah. Shortness of breath could be a vagus nerve issue. Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying when I said about stress, right? So, and the vagus nerve, it impacts a lot of things, and correcting vagus nerve imbalances can actually help with things like shortness of breath and things like COPD, which we think about as a serious condition. In the book, Accessing the Healing Power of the Vagus Nerve, he tells a story about a new patient that was coming in to see him, but he has his office on the second floor. So the guy literally like gasped walking up the stairs and finally made it to the top. It took him 10 minutes to get up to the top, gasping for air. He went in and found a vagus nerve issue, and he had some physical corrections, and he helped to correct it. I demonstrated some of that at Shine. Once he did that, and he has a specific assessment where you look at the uvula, et cetera, to see if there's a vagus nerve issue and what side and some other things. He said, I think it's corrected. Go down the stairs and come back up. And the guys go, you've got to be kidding me. It took me 10 minutes to come up. He goes, no, it's going to be fine. So the guy went down the stairs and came up the stairs, no problem. So, yeah. So, Jill, you're wanting to know longer term what to look at. Yeah, so I would look at, I think a Dutch test would be good if there's anxiety there. I think Dutch test, another test you might look at would be the organic acid test. But I would start with one, see what goes on, because Dutch gives you some of the organic acids. In fact, the ones, two of them related to neurotransmitters. Yeah. Large, same issue. Yeah. So these people are pushing these keto diets that are very low in micronutrients and very high in isolated fat. They're doing a lot of oil. They're doing butter. They're doing lard. It's just fat, and it just has fat calories. It doesn't have nutrition other than fat. And fat is where all the, especially in animal products, and certainly not in vegetable products, but in animal products, that's where all the toxins are stored. Right? So that's where you're going to get I'm just not a fan. That's why I do a plant-based whole foods keto, and people have amazing results with that. Long-term, those keto diets are getting people into trouble, the ones where they're just doing bacon and butter all day long. Patty, for women going through menopause and needs gynecological services, how might you direct them to talk with their doctor about vaginal dryness, dry skin, etc.? How do we address as health coaches? Okay. So I'm not sure what you mean by how would you direct them to talk, but I mean, certainly they would talk. They would say, look, these are the symptoms I'm having. Doctors should be asking, what's your presenting symptoms? Well, I have vaginal dryness. I have dry skin. I have hot flashes. I have insomnia, whatever those symptoms are. Those are generally imbalances in the sex hormones, and you can address those things. I would say, doing a Dutch test is a really good way to see what's going on and see what the balance is in between those. I mean, there's certainly things like Dr. Anna Kabeka has her vulva cream. It's called Jolva, and you can apply it to the vulva area. And if any of it gets inside, that's okay. It's fine for that. And it's amazing for vaginal dryness because it helps to balance the hormones. The dry skin, you got to look at an underlying cause. Like, does she have a fatty acid imbalance? Does she have a zinc imbalance? Right? So as health coaches, we address people not as a set of symptoms, but we address them as people who have a unique set of imbalances that are leading to their symptoms. Right? So you do a complete history. You ask them lots of questions. You look at emotional pieces. You look at what herbs and supplements they might be taking, what foods they might be taking that are throwing them out of balance. So there. And Patty, what are my thoughts on bioidentical hormones if what you said doesn't work? Sure. If you do a Dutch test and they're really low and you try the food approach, or they're doing already a food approach, they're doing cruciferous, they're doing DIM, they're avoiding plastics and PC, um, PCBs and all that stuff that interfere with them. And depending on what they show up as, I absolutely. And in fact, there are some bioidenticals you can get over the counter, which I oftentimes do recommend to people. DHEA, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that these things are still going to be available. But based on a Dutch test results, I can look at DHEA, you can look at pregnenolone, you can look at progesterone, and even topical estrogen. There are some companies that make non-prescription estriol cream. And most of the vaginal dryness, yeah, over-the-counter, meaning you can buy it online. Go to two different companies I can send you to, Biomatrix, and the other one is Bezwecken. And I think both of them are available in our doctor's supplement store front. But yeah, and they have them, and you can get an estriol cream. Bezwecken, B-E-Z-W-E-C-K-E-N, Bezwecken. And the first one is Biomatrix. Yeah, and so you can get that pregnenolone, you can get in liquid form. Biomatrix is what I use because they make them in liquid form and you can just really titrate tiny. There's a book by a Dr. Rosensweet, David Rosensweet, D-A-V-E-D, not I-D, and it's called the target method. I think the second version of it is called something different, but he has a very unique approach with bioidenticals where he does just tiny, tiny drops of little oil-based hormones, and he titrates them up based on the way things work. Jill, my client is now doing a hip hormone implant. Yes, I know about them, and I'm totally opposed. And Dr. Rosensweet has a good opinion on that, too. And at Shine, Dr. Alison Grimson, who's an MD from the UK, who specializes in bioidentical hormones, she shared some scary statistics and some stories about people she'd been working with that had been referred to her from other doctors about those hormone implants. You can't control the amount. They put them in, and it's in for 6 months. Waxing and waning, and if it's not working well, it's got to go back in and take it out again. It's not a practical approach. I'm a fan of bioidentical hormones given in physiologic doses, meaning small doses, the amount that your body would produce, not the amount that, you know, some drugstore wants to produce, the amount your body would want to produce. Because the problem is with too high levels of hormones is that there's something called the negative feedback. Negative feedback. So what happens is that the body goes, oh, there's plenty of this hormone. I'm not going to make it anymore. And it suppresses your own. And I've seen people who have been on bioidenticals for years and their own hormones are suppressed big time. So the doctor is David, D-A-V-E-D, Rosensweet. Yeah. And he, for those of you in NEPT, go to ACR, the Advanced Clinical Resources section, and we have about probably 20 or more different interviews with and presentations by various specialists in areas of functional medicine, and Dr. Rosensweet is in there. We did a really fun and very, very informative interview about a year and a half or 2 years ago. So yeah, click on ACR, which should be on your right sidebar. And that'll take you there. Yeah. So David, and he has a book called, the first book was called The Target Method. He changed it, and I don't remember what he called the second book. All right. I'm going to go back to see if there's anybody with their hand up. Star 2 or hit the button. And I have a couple more questions in the Q&A. Okay. Chris says that the principle that mastering diabetes coaches use, they're totally against that. Now, there's the other extreme, and they claim that you can eat all the sugar you want, I mean, as long as it's whole food plant-based sugar, which could be lots of grains and fruits, and it depends on the person. I crashed and burned on there. You know, I'm totally for fats, but whole food plant-based fats, not oils. I'm not a fan of oils at all. Nanette, I'm in the insulin resistance class. I thought we had separate phone calls for that. I've not received any notices in a couple of months, at least. I might be wrong. Yeah, we did have, when you first joined, there were like 4 or 5 months of those, and those have ended. So you had a little bit more on these. But, yeah, if you missed any of those, they should be posted. The recordings should be posted. But, yeah. Yeah, so that they ended. That's why you haven't received them. The only people that get ongoing forever and ever calls, week after week, month after month, are the people in NEPT. And then we have plenty of access, plenty of access. Okay. Let's see if any more there. Virginia. Oh, Carrie. Okay, a couple more. Let me see. Some from Virginia. That was Nanette. Okay, Virginia. Here I'm going to ask you guys, if you're asking me multiple questions, please, please, please don't put them all in one comment, because the way this program works, it just like smashes it all together and I go bonkers. So if you have multiple questions, put them in separate comments. So this is a long one. I'm an RARSPT, finished the stress and sleep modules and applying them, but I have four questions. I'm 53, in perimenopause. I did the hormone panel and my cortisol was low in the morning, noon and night, normal in the evening, and DHA is low. Although my cortisol is low at night, I don't sleep well. I wake up at least five times throughout the night. With good luck, I sometimes get 7 hours of sleep. I don't understand how, if my cortisol is low, I can't sleep the whole night. What that says is one of two things. It's either not related to cortisol, or the cortisol is actually going up in the middle of the night. Like, since the test, if you did the saliva test or the Dutch test, so please let me know which one you did. But if you did the saliva test and you tested morning, around noon, 4 in the afternoon and in the evening, and if it was low at night, then you didn't test in the middle of the night. So you might actually be going up high about 5 hours or whatever the time, is that you wake up. So that's one thing. It could be something else. It could be a deficiency in neurotransmitter. It could be a melatonin deficiency. It could be a serotonin deficiency. It could be something else. So you have to look at lots of other reasons for stress being a problem. And also look at your glucose. What's your glucose? What's your glucose in the morning? What's your glucose at night before you go to bed? You might be getting a spike in glucose. If you're eating a high glycemic meal in the evening and the sugar goes way up and the insulin goes up, and it may be coming down too low. So what I would recommend to determine some of this stuff is, the easiest thing is to take your glucose meter and measure it every time you get up and just jot it down. And if you have don't want to jot it down because it's the middle of the night and you want to get too far awake, you can just keep it in the meter, because usually they'll store like the last, you know, couple of dozen readings. So you can look at it the next day and jot them down and see. So it's an investigation thing. Like, why are you not sleeping? Why are you waking up? Yeah. Not just cortisol. Cortisol isn't the only thing. What happened with the growth hormone secretion with all of this interruption? You said fasting on a regular basis downregulates your metabolism. I thought that eating low carb was the problem, lowering metabolism of fasting in alternate days or days in ketogenic don't rise the metabolism instead. Uptake of glucose in the brain. Okay, so what happened with the growth hormone secretion with all the interruptions? Yeah, the growth hormone gets interrupted. So it never gets as high as it should, which means that you're not going to repair as well as you should. And you said fasting on a regular basis downregulates your metabolism. Longer fasts can downregulate your metabolism, but intermittent fasting, if you go, we have a really good document, like an 18-page research paper on intermittent fasting in the timing module. So if you haven't done the timing module, you may want to look there. But yeah, eating low carb is, eating low calorie will lower the metabolism. Eating low carb, not necessarily, but what's recommended is doing the feast and famine type of an approach. So intermittent fasting, like alternate days or time-restricted eating, where you only eat for 8 hours to 10 hours during a 24-hour fast period, can be very helpful in keeping the metabolism up high. In that paper on intermittent fasting, I talked about a lot of studies that show that the people had better response. But if you routinely fast for multiple days in a row, then that can downregulate the metabolism. But certainly intermittent fasting for 24 to 36 hours a couple of times a week does not, in any of the studies I've looked at. What I did find was that people who do time-restricted eating and only eating one meal a day actually had a lowered metabolism and gained more weight on the same amount of food as people who ate two meals a day or three meals a day. And because it's the volume at the time that you eat that causes that big rise in blood sugar. Uptake of glucose in the brain drops 7% even when you're doing keto and your ketones are high. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Generally speaking, if you're doing keto and your ketones are high, then your brain is going to be using the fats rather than the glucose. Virginia, another question. The cortisol peak at 8 a.m. that breaks protein, is that happen also in keto diet when burning fat for fuel? No, it does not. It does not. Once you get fat adapted, it doesn't. Carrie, how does exercise affect blood sugar? In the blood sugar module, we talk about that a lot, but it basically makes the muscle cells that are trained, you know, so flaccid muscles versus strong, fit muscles will actually are less insulin resistant. So exercise causes a reversal of the insulin resistance quite dramatically, and especially burst exercise. You know, so they, some people call it HIIT exercise, high intensity interval training, burst training, where you're doing short periods of really high intensity followed by short periods of rest and then short periods of high intensity. We talk about that in the exercise part of the blood sugar module in NPT, which is also called IRSPT, insulin resistance practitioner training. Virginia, another question about hormones. Low cortisol, low DHEA, says I have uterine fibroids. I suppose I can't take DHEA. Probably not a good idea, but you can take pregnenolone and allow the body to go down the right path. I would want to know what your progesterone is. Oh, I'm taking progesterone, Bioidentical, Vitex, and DIM, and ashwagandha. What do you think? So without exact numbers and looking, the low DHEA with low cortisol, say it says to me you're closer to like a stage 3 adrenal fatigue. Number one, you've got to reduce the stress. So what is it that's causing you to be stressed? Is it a mental, emotional stress? Do you need to do more meditation, heart math, tapping, etc.? Or is it an environmental stress? Are you exposed to toxins in your environment that are creating a physiologic stress on your body? Do you have gut stress? Is there microbiome imbalance that's causing, you know, some parasites and other things? And that's another thing, getting back to you waking in the night. Parasites can wake you up in the middle of the night. So it's possible that you might have parasites. So, yeah, hard to tell, you know, based on what little information I have. It sounds like you're already doing things like Vitex and DIM, progesterone, ashwagandha, you know, other things that are maybe some, if you go through, you're not in our adrenal program, but in our adrenal program, we have a really nice little document that lays out some of the herbs that can be helpful for balancing those things. Okay. Are you in? No, Virginia, you're in IRSPT. You're not in. If you're in IRSP, if you're in NEPT, you get access to all of our client programs, and you have the modules on adrenals and thyroid and all that, and it talks about that. Yeah, low calories. Yeah, low calories definitely will suppress. Yeah, and you did the saliva. Yeah. Oh, you're in Uruguay. Wow. Yeah. Now, check out our adrenal program. Correcting adrenal fatigue and exhaustion. If you're dealing with this for yourself and you're a practitioner, you can get a lot of great information on that. I think it's at cafeprogram.com, C-A-F-E, program.com. Yeah, I think that would be a good one for you to look at. All right, hands up. We have Denver, Colorado. Is that Thea? Hello?
Thea. Hi, Dr.
Hi.
Let me put my headset in now. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Yes. Okay. Hi. I'm sitting here trying to confuse myself with the thyroid pattern charts.
Oh, okay. That's what you do not get confused on.
And I'm in NEPT. I think you know that.
I know that.
So I have a client who, a couple of lessons learned here. We worked a lot together last year, and then I moved her to a retainer, and it's self-initiated, which for this particular client was not the best decision. So I'm speaking with her later today just because she hadn't healed enough, right?
Yeah.
She's got a lot of environmental stressors, okay, mostly her mind, but also amalgams, fillings, several. She also has breast implants, and she also has just shared with me that there was a leak in their bathroom in an old Denver house. And then her beloved, she's a big dog lover like me, and one died a year ago of kidney issues. The next one died a few months ago with kidney issues, and she had basically them in hospice at home for quite a bit of time. So with all of that, and this is a simple question, and I hope there's no stupid question because I'm trying to learn this.
No.
Can we see free T4 go from 1.2 to 6.9 in a 6-month period? Is that possible? And, you know, we have to look at other factors. The reason I'm asking is because...
Did she put on any hormones?
No, but this is another lesson learned, Dr. Rita Marie, and for everyone, is she so wants to be involved in her healing. She took her lab results and put them into an Excel spreadsheet, and I'm going off of those, and I think my lesson learned is never, never accept what the client has provided,
get the original, right? Yeah, because you want to rip it, you go, oh. Now, if that's the case, then, you know, it's possible that she has some sort, does she have any symptoms of hyperthyroid? That she could have had a virus or an exposure that would have triggered a Graves' disease.
So she does have TPOs of 40, and those are up from a year ago when we stopped working together. So she's one that she was diagnosed by her family doctor at age 5 with a nervous gut. She remembers that at age 5.
Wow.
Her mother doesn't remember that. And I thought this was fascinating. The mother dismissed everything that this GP had said all these years ago because the mother didn't agree with the abortion position of this doctor at the time.
Dumbly.
And so the mother making the decision.
Dismissed him overall. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
but this little girl
has been a really big stress for her as well. Probably the relationship there has been a serious stress. So the woman's under a lot of stress. What's her weight like? Is she under or overweight?
Yeah, now here's the thing. So the TPO is 40 now. A year ago, let me see, she's lost weight, and the mother is actually at this close to 50-year-old woman trying to get my client to go on some medication for her thyroid. She continues to lose weight. She was 129 a year ago, I think, beginning of this year, and then she went down to 125 in July.
Okay. How tall is she?
Oh, I think she's like 5'8" or 9".
Okay, so that's small. Okay, I was just trying to get a sense of if she's 5 foot tall and she's 125 pounds, she still has a ways to go to get down to her ideal. But if she's 5'8",
and she's too thin.
Okay, but weight loss needs to be investigated whenever somebody has rapid weight loss. That's not terribly rapid, but it is weight loss. But I would get the copy. Have her give you the copy so you can verify that it is 6. You also want to look at what's her TSH. Has her TSH gone down? Right.
It was 4.66 in February, the 1st of February of this year, 4.66, and then it went to 3.16 the first part of July.
All right. So that is still within a hypo-ish range. It's possible she has Hashimoto's. Hashimoto's often presents as hyperthyroid in the early stages and then goes to hypo. So,
we've also worked, Rita Marie, on her ulcerative colitis, and the doctors have given her an all clear on the ulcerative colitis.
Okay. So, lots
so she's autoimmune prone.
Right. She's autoimmune prone. Right. So, and all of those things, all of those stressors you talk about are triggers for autoimmune, right? So, I think that you got to see the exact numbers, the right numbers. You want to look at the total T4 as well. All right, because different things can affect the free hormones, because if there's excess or too little of the binding globulins, you're going to see a change in the free hormones. So you want to see what the thyroid is actually making. So I always want to see a free total T4. So I would look at the total T4, have her give you the lab thing. She may have just, you know, missed something. She may have mistyped it.
Yeah.
But the symptom picture is kind of suspicious here.
Right, right.
Okay.
Her free T3, she didn't have measured.
And she may have Hashimoto's, and she's in that early stage where it presents as hyper and then it goes to hypo. Right? And when in doubt, I would always retest, right? Look at her test, see if it's complete.
Yeah.
And have her retest all the ones that make sense. Minimally, the TSH, the total T4, and the free T4 and the total T3.
Three T4 and the total T3. Yeah. Okay.
No, not total T3. That I don't care about much. Total T4.
Three T3.
That's really what is the body making? You know, 80%, 90% of what the thyroid makes is T4. So if you look at total T4, you get the capacity. What's the body actually producing? Is it overproducing, underproducing? The free T4. Well, that there's a lot of other factors, right? The binding globulin. And if somebody has is on estrogen, or they're making too much estrogen, or they have too much xenoestrogen in their body, they're going to see a rise in that binding globulin, so the free hormones will be low. On the other hand, if they have too much testosterone, so we see this in women with PCOS, or people who are taking testosterone supplementation, or people whose partners are taking testosterone topically and they're getting some.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a good thing to ask. Thyroid binding globulin.
Yeah.
And then the free numbers will go high. So we really need to look at the total and the free in order to get the right picture. Okay.
Do I need to have her do the thyroid binding globulin?
I would just look at these numbers first. Thyroid binding globulin is expensive. So I would look at these numbers.
Okay.
See what the ratio
is. Cool.
Okay.
And it's interesting, her cholesterol went from 224 in January to 274 total, and her triglycerides came down.
Yeah, so the cholesterol going up is usually a sign of the thyroid being hypoactive, not hyper. But again, what we see a lot with people with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, we see that there's fluctuations, wild fluctuations in their hormone levels. And rather rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody who had, nobody had ever tested her antibodies before. I tested her antibodies. She had not huge high numbers, but she was like 80-ish. But she said, you know, it's interesting. The doctors keep telling me over the years that my TSH is up and it's down and it's up and it's down. And the first thing I think about, and you guys should think about if you hear somebody whose TSH is up and down and all over the map, is autoimmunity. Classic sign of autoimmunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We talk about that in the thyroid module.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Okay. The good news is, well, let me ask you this. She is going to have explant surgery.
Good.
That was a big decision. Do you think she should stabilize her thyroid before going that?
No, I wouldn't.
Surgery.
I mean, that's not my opinion. I would do some research and make sure there's no contraindications to that. But that could be the cause of part of the cause of her thyroid symptoms, especially if there's a leak in there or if there's some infection. We've had a couple of people in our ERC program this year who went and got three over the course of the last 2 years. We've had three people who've done explants. And made a huge difference in their life. There's a link. There's somebody in one of my mastermind groups, and that's what they specialize in, is working with people on explant, you know, the whole supportive thing with the explants. One's name is, let me see if I can find it real quick. Okay, on Facebook. Let me go to that. Okay. Share. Okay. Mind Your Mastermind. All right. So let me see if I can find her name. She and her partner worked together on it. I think her name is, let me find it.
While you're looking that up, I'm looking at her serum testosterone, this client. It was 225 in February of 18.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah. And the range we have is 35 to 45.
Yeah, that's high.
That's crazy.
That's crazy high.
That's high, yeah.
Diane Kaser.
That is crazy high.
K-A-Z-E-R, Diane Kaser. Let me see if she has her website here. Let me see if I look her up. But they do.
And while you're doing that, you totally rocked it in gut solutions.
Oh, good. Oh, you know, you never know how those are going to come out because I just talk for like an hour and a half and then they pop it all over. So,
yeah. But they gave you some long segments. Did you see the end result?
I haven't seen it. I have to look at it. I haven't seen it. They did.
They did. Yes, it was very, I thought it was well done and very comprehensive. So they gave you some long runs. They didn't chop you up too much. I mean, if you talked for an hour, they did chop you up.
I talked it out. It was an hour because, yeah. All right. So let me give you the link. I'm going to put her name and her website in there. But I don't know if this is the best place to find her explant stuff, but it does say it right at the top. So you may want to have your person look there.
Okay. And you put that in the chat.
I'm putting it in the chat. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is really becoming a big deal.
It is. You know who else is savvy on it? Is Erin Elizabeth.
E-R-I-N?
Yeah. Just go to Facebook and look up Erin Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Health Nut News, I think it's called. Something like that.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. She's a big fan of it, having done it herself. So, yeah. Okay. Good question.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
And good learnings. I hope other people can benefit from
it. Oh, absolutely. This
my growth opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Go look at the chat because Chris said there's also a Facebook support group for explanting and breast illness. So, good stuff.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
Client has made herself crazy.
Well, she's got a lot of stress in her system, in physical, in emotional, and chemical, right? So all of that stuff needs to be taken into account.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. Let's see. So what do you recommend for cooking? Coconut oil? I don't cook with oil. I don't recommend, I'm just anti-oil. If I'm going to saute some vegetables and I usually do water saute, coconut oil is probably the most stable for heating. So a little bit of coconut oil to keep it from sticking could be fine. Martha, will taking chromium at night make you feel hot? I've never heard that before. Client has been taking for about 3 weeks, taking some in the morning as well. So play with that and have her stop it. See if the hot goes away, have her start it again and see if the hot comes back. Then I would say, you know, it could be making her hot. Everything can do everything. It just depends on the person. Chris says, if we find out insomnia is not a blood sugar issue, do you recommend 5-HTP and how? It depends, right? I really look at the full picture, right? You look at the full picture. Do they have other symptoms that would suggest that they have low serotonin, right? 5-HTP at night can be very helpful. And you can experiment. It shouldn't hurt for them to take it. So you can experiment with it and see if it makes a difference. But generally speaking, you want to look at the full picture. You want to really learn how, what's really going on with this person. So we do a complete history. We find out, do they have symptoms of depression or anxiety or OCD? Low serotonin will have a person tend towards OCD. So you look at that. Okay. And if you're going to take 5-HTP, I usually would start with like a 50 milligram dose, at night, right before bed, and then you can up it to as much as 150 to 200 and just see if it makes a difference. And of course, melatonin. And sometimes, you know, taking the 5-HTP can help produce more melatonin because it's in the pathway. But if they're deficient in B6, oh yeah, anytime you give somebody 5-HTP, give them B6. Okay, Barbara, another stool test question. If the stool is collected for 6 days rather than 3, should the sample be kept in the fridge? Yeah, fridge and freezer, rather than on the counter and freezer as directed. Counter, I would not recommend, right? I think freezer is going to be better. If they say you can freeze them, then definitely freeze them. Yeah, cool. I'm going to look to see if there's any other questions typed in, and then if anybody else has their hand up. All right, so I'm going to refresh. Let's see. It's so slow today. What's the difference? The ideal percentage of fat in menopausal women. I'm thin outside, fat inside, 112 pounds with 27% fat all in my belly. Not good. I would say, 20 is a good place to target. It depends on whether a person's athletic or not. But definitely 27 is too high. Yeah. I would say work on your blood sugar. Chris, would you recommend several meals a day for someone who's trying to gain weight? It's a client of mine. I've addressed gut healing and stress management, and she went from 5 to 7 times diarrhea a day to none. Now she needs to gain 10 kilos she lost before seeing me. What would you recommend as a weight gain strategy? Yeah, so at a weight gain strategy, usually I try to get people to have really fortified shakes because it doesn't fill them as much, you know, and this is a case where I might recommend a short period of time doing some MCT oil or something for the calories. But I would look at it as a balanced thing. So if you're trying to help somebody lose weight by eating, spacing their meals and eating only 2 meals a day, with someone who is seriously underweight, 3 meals a day or 4 meals a day, even spaced at about 3 or 4 hours apart instead of the longer, at least until they get their weight on. But you definitely want it to be good calories. So higher fat calories, avocados, olives, those kinds of things can be helpful. You don't want them to load up on a lot of refined foods because that's what most doctors will say, just eat a lot of pasta and bread. Yeah, but it's not healthy, right? So yeah, good question. Let's see if there's any else. Yeah, so I actually whisper in people's ears when they're on a program and they're really thin and I'm like, don't tell anybody I said so, but I need you to eat every 3 or 4 hours and eat 3 or 4 meals a day, you know. So I whisper that for the other people who shouldn't hear it. All right. Let's see. I don't see any more hands. For those of you who don't know, I'm doing a fasting while eating challenge. On Facebook, it starts tomorrow, and we're basically using some of the research from Dr. Walter Longo on fasting mimicking diet. How do you get some of the same results of fasting without fasting? Because a lot of people won't fast, you know what I mean? It's like, well, I'm not going to go without food even for 24 hours, let alone 5 days. So you get those benefits without fasting, and it's a lower calorie, you know, kind of mid-range to high fat, low carb, or moderate carb, low protein. Anyway, if you're interested, go to fastingandfood.com. We've got, like, last time I looked, we had like 3,500 people signed up for it. 3,700. Huh. Okay. 3,700 people signed up for it, and it's still rising. So, and I created a really nice guidebook. So you guys as practitioners will really want to get your hands on that. And it's going to keep getting updated. I'm putting recipes in there, then I'm running them through Chronometer and putting in the nutritional evaluation of them and, you know, really trying to create a tool that's helpful for people to be able to customize. 3,771 people. Yay. All right. So let me see if there's any others. And I'm going to do a Facebook Live in the Unstoppable Health group in about, I think, about 45 minutes or so. So, all right. So no other hands are raised. Let me go to the Q&A again, and then I'll go back to the chat. And if you guys don't have anything else you want to share or ask, then we'll call it a day. Let's see. Refresh. See, it takes a little while to refresh my computer. I think it needs a reboot. Okay, so that was that. I got all the questions in the Q&A. Thank you, Jill, for putting that in there. Have I mailed the recipes? Yeah, I mailed mailed the recipes last night. I mailed recipes. Well, I mailed some of them on Sunday night, and then I mailed a bunch more last night, and I updated it today. Yeah, for the fasting diet. Yep. Yep. Yeah, I don't know. Some people aren't getting it. Look in your spam folder, because you should be getting my stuff. Thank you for that, Chris. Hopefully that Thea is still on to look at that. The name of the Facebook support group is Christina Rowland's Breast Implant Illness Rejuvenation and Education. More and more people are getting into those kinds of support because a lot of people are having problems with this. They put them in for that vanity reason, and now they're finding out. I keep saying fast food. Fast food. Yeah, we're having a fast food challenge. I was having a fast food challenge and promising the promises on, you know, the results I'm suggesting, I would have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands. I missed the vegan cheese cooking class. Will you do it again? No, I won't do it again, but you can go on, go to Vital Health Community. VitalHealthCommunity.com and join us there, and you'll get the link for it. You'll get the recording of it. It's $19.95, and you'll get 2 months worth of it, and you'll get 2 months of access. So, yeah, we don't redo them. We just keep doing them. We do them free for the public until just the live version, and then the you have to be in the membership to get it. So it's a real inexpensive membership. I don't think it'll break you. Plus, you get a live call with me every month, a Q&A call about your health and a health topic call, which a lot of our NEPT students are leading those. I lead some of them, and they lead some of them. So it's really cool. Lots of great information. It's a treasure trove of information. And starting next year, we probably won't offer the – right now we offer the premium where you pay for a year in advance and you save a tremendous – like $195 for a whole year's worth, and you get access to 8.5 years worth of archives. So pretty darn amazing. Yeah, so that's it, guys. I'm going to open up your lines to say goodbye. Again, if you've been trying to raise your hand and I'm not seeing it, just type into the chat and let me know that you have. I'll do one last check on the Q&A and one last check on the, let's see, although that refresh takes a long time. So the booklet that I put out there for this fasting with food, it's so far it's 38 pages, and it'll probably end up being more than that when I finish, because I'm putting in the nutrient evaluations for each of these from Chronometer, so the summaries. And, yeah. Chris, oh, my God, I want to be like you when I grow up, Dr. Rita Marie. you can be. Follow my plan. All right. Thank you, everybody. Me too. Thank you, Jill. Is that Jill from up north, from Minnesota? Is that the Jill that I'm seeing there? Yeah, Minnesota, that's you. Okay, Jill. Got it. All right. There's different people in different programs, and I get people's names. So I'm going to open up, and on the count of three, go ahead and say goodbye, everybody. One, two, three. Whoops. No, did it work? Yeah. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.